Okay, so as I always say before every Yontif, there's a million and a half things to speak about every particular Yontif. Every particular Yontif, when it comes, is the most famous, the most amazing Yontif of all. So there's a million and a half things to talk about by Purim, and Purim is the most amazing of Yom Tovim. So we'll do this like this. I'll take, you know, and many times we try to show this, that in Halacha, there's a million, billion, trillion details and pieces, right? But when you pull back the layers and you learn a little bit about the neshama and the pnimis behind it, then those individual pieces of halacha, all of them come together to sort of show a much deeper side of whatever it is that you're studying. So we'll do the same thing over here. We'll take a little prat, the detail on Hilchas Purim and Hilchas Megillah. And from there, Bez Hashem, will be able to uncover a little bit of the pnimis, the neshama that's going on behind it. And Bez Hashem, to connect the Yontif even more. And Befrat, Vashkacha Pratis, we'll learn something that is Negeya also to the Purim season that we're in right now in Tavshin Pei Vav, hopefully. Okay, so begin with the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Megillah. So Hilchas Megillah, Perek Beis. The Rambam writes in Halacha Yud Beis. Now, bear in mind, as I mentioned many times, the Rambam is always meticulous with his language, not only with every word that he writes, but also in the organization, right? So every halacha is a standalone thing in the Rambam. So the Rambam, again, this is the Rambam Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Beis, says the Rambam. He's talking about the halachas of how to read the Megillah on Purim. It says the Rambam, Tzarech HaKoyre Likreis Aseres B'nei Haman, that the Bal Koyre, by Purim, he reads the Aseres B'nei Haman, the 10 sons of Haman. So he reads the names Vaseres and the word Aseres afterwards, right? Aseres b'nei Haman. B'neshima achas. You have to read it in one breath. B'neshima achas. K'dei lo'edi l'kol ha'am. And by doing so, you let everyone know shekulam nitlu v'nergu ke'echad, that they were all hanged and died at the same time. That's the Rambam. So you have to say Aseres b'nei Haman all in one breath, and that lets everyone know that they were taka all hanged and killed together. Number one, says the Rambam, a second point, Uminig Kol Yisrael, the minig of Kol Yisrael is Shakaris and Megillah. Another point that when you read the Megillah, the Tibor, Koyre Yupoyshe Kageris, you read it and it's unfolded like a letter, right? So there's different minhagim about this. I mean, the general minig is that it's unfolded from the beginning, right? From before the brachas, the whole thing is unrolled. The Rambam's language sounds a little bit not like that, that as you read it, you unfold it and remains unfolded. But either case, says the Rambam, the minig is that the Megillah is read in a way that it's unfolded, ki geras, like a letter. Laharis hanes, again, also to publicize the nes. Ugeshiyigmar, when you finish reading, chayzer v'karcha, then you roll it back up again. Umavarach, and you make the final bracha, haravis reveinu, donestinenu, that bracha that you make at the end of reading the Megillah, that you do after it's rolled back up. That's the Rambam. So Rambam said 2 points. Number one, that you read all the Aseres B'nei Haman in one breath. And number two, when you read the Megillah, it has to be unfolded. All right. So the question is, why are these both in Halacha Yud Beis? These are two separate halachas. There should be Halacha Yud Beis, which is read Aseres B'nei Haman in one breath. And a new halacha, Halacha Yud Gimel, when you read the Megillah, read it unfolded. The Rambam puts them both in the same halacha. The same halacha says that you should read Aseres B'nei Haman in one breath, and the same halacha says you should read the Megillah in one unfolded. The question is, what is the connection between one and the other? It becomes a little bit more strange. Not only are these two separate halachas, but the truth is they're fundamentally very different. The first halacha is sourced in the Gemara. As we'll see in a moment, the Gemara tells us, it's Al Pi Halacha from the Gemara, that you have to read Aseres B'nei Haman in one breath. That's from the Gemara. The second halacha, that you have to read the Megillah unfolded, the Rambam himself writes, Uminik Kol Yisrael, it's a minik. So not only are you putting two separate halachas together as if they have anything to do with each other, but one is a real halacha from a Gemara, and one is a minik. Both are good, both are necessary, you have to keep everything, but what do they have to do with each other? So that's point number one. Okay, so let's investigate for just a few minutes. We'll see the halacha first, then we'll get to the pnimis of it. What is the inyan of the first point, which is reading that Aseres B'nei Haman in one breath? What's that? What is that about? So as I mentioned, it's coming from a Gemara. The Gemara says like this. It's a Gemara in Megillah, Tehez Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says as follows. Amrav Ada Demin Yafo. Rav Ada from Yafo said, that's, he was the one that, he's the source of this halacha. Aseres B'nei Haman v'aseres tzorech lememrinu b'nishim achas. The Aseres B'nei Haman, and the word Aseres that follows, you have to read it in one breath. Okay, my taima, says the Gemara, what's the reason? Kulu Bahadu Hadadi Nafkinish Messiah, because all at one and once their neshamas left them. They were killed at the same time. That's how you read them all together. Okay. Now the Gemara, that's the line of the Gemara from Rav Ada from Yafa, but then the Gemara records other things that are unique about the Aseres Bnei Haman. Says the Gemara, Om Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Vav Devaizasa Tzarech Lamimtecha Bezekifa. That the word Vav, the letter Vav in the name Vaizasa has to be long, because that symbolizes like sort of the eights, the pole that they were all hanged on. Okay? So the Vav has to be long. The Gemara says, Om Rav Chanina Bar Papa, Rav Chanina Bar Papa said, another halacha regarding the Aseres Bnei Haman, Kol HaShiris Kulam, Nichtoves Ariach Al Gabi Levena, Ulevena Al Gabi Ariach. All the Shiris, all the songs that we have in Chumash, let's say Az Yashir, so it has to be written in Chumash, in like stacked bricks, right? It's hard to describe it in words, but you know what I'm talking about, like the, I don't know how to even what? Staggered. Longer line, two shorter lines, staggered like that, like a wall of bricks. That's how you have to do with every shira. Says the Gemara, chutz mi shira zu, except for this song, Aseres Bnei Haman, that what? That it should be arach al gabi arach, levin al gabi levin. It should be two separate columns, right? S, right? And then the 10 names, two separate columns. My taima, why the difference? Shleite tekum lamapi lasam. In order that there shouldn't be any, that's not a stable wall. You know what I mean? We don't want the Aseres Bnei Haman to be even ridden with stability. So Az Yashir could be stable, but the Aseres Bnei Haman shouldn't be stable. So the Gemara records again. So the Gemara records a number of unique things by Aseres Bnei Haman. The first thing, which the Rambam also mentioned, which is that you have to read it B'Nashim Achas. And then the Gemara said a few other things regarding how it's written, right? The Gemara recorded the Vav has to be long. And then the Gemara recorded that it has to be written in two separate columns. Okay, so that's the Gemara. What's interesting is the Rambam, although he records the first halacha that I mentioned, that you have to read it B'Nashim Achas, the Rambam completely omits the second, the next halachas. Nowhere in the Rambam does it say that the Vav of Vaisas has to be long, and nowhere does he say that you have to write in two separate columns. Our minig is to do that, but the Rambam omits that. And the question is why? So here's the idea. Why are the Aseres Bnei Haman different, right? So from the Gemara we have that they're different in how you read it. It should be read in one breath. And they're different in how they're written. That the Vav should be longer, they should be in two separate columns. Why? Why is Aseres Bnei Haman different? So from the Gemara itself, you can sort of make the following conclusion. The reason why it's different, and the Gemara sort of hints to this, is because even though it's all Megillas Esther, and these are psukim part of Megillas Esther, but to a certain degree, these psukim of Aseres Bnei Haman, it's a pasuk of Aseres Bnei Haman, is like a standalone thing. It's called a shira. It's called a song. In other words, like Beshalach, right? Like Az Yashir. Az Yashir is part of Chumash. It's part of Pashat Beshalach. But it's also a standalone zach. It has a definition of a shira. The Aseres Bnei Haman have a definition of a shira. The definition of a song. That's the language of the Gemara. The Gemara said that they should be written in separate columns. Said the Gemara, all songs, all shiras are usually written in staggered way, like Az Yashir. This song, this shira of the Aseres Bnei Haman should be written in two separate columns. They shouldn't be stable. But what do you see from the Gemara's context is that what? That it's called a shira. Now, because it's called a shira, therefore, to a certain degree, the Gemara understands that the Aseres Bnei Haman are like a standalone parsha. It's like a standalone zach. And because it's a standalone thing, it has to be identified as a standalone thing. So therefore, it's unique, says the Gemara, in how it's written, that the Vav has to be long, two separate columns, and it also has to be unique in how it's read, B'Nashim Achas. So even though, the Gemara says you read B'Nashim Achas to hint the fact that they were all killed at once, there's a lot of miracles, there's a lot of like stuff going on in the Megillas Esther. We don't hint to it. Like there's no halacha that you have to, when you're speaking, I've seen Balkaris do this. You know, like when Vashti's talking, you have a certain tone, and when Esther's talking, so all of a sudden now, when it comes to Aseres Bnei Haman, you have to do it B'Nashim Achas as if, because they all died B'Nashim Achas. So the Gemara says to do it like that, but it's coming from a broader idea, which is that these words Aseres Bnei Haman is a standalone thing. It's called a shira, so it has to be standalone. It has to be unique in terms of how it's written. And it has to be unique in terms of how it's read. So how do you read it differently? So the Gemara picks this idea, read it B'Nashim Achas, because anyway, it hints to what was going on, that they were all killed. But the concept is that it's called its own shira. Now, once we understand that that's the reason of why, let's say, for example, the Aseres Bnei Haman are written differently. The long Vav in two different columns. Because it's called a Shira, we can understand why the Rambam doesn't say this. Why the Rambam doesn't paskin and doesn't record this halacha at all. Why? Because again, the halacha, the fact that they have to be written different, a long Vav, two separate columns, is why, is because it's a Shira. It's a song within the context of Megillas Esther. The Rambam, you know, we say Hal on every Yontif, yeah? We don't say Hal on Purim. Why don't we say Hal on Purim? So that's the Gemara. It's another Gemara. The Gemara asks that question, and the Gemara gives a bunch of answers. One answer is because it was a miracle that took place outside of Eretz Yisrael. Another answer is because even at the end of the day, Akati Avi Achashverosh, and we're still slaves of Achashverosh. And one answer of the Gemara is reading the Megillah is Hal. Reading the Megillah is Hal. The Rambam in Hilchus Chanukah actually. Paskin's like that reason. The Rambam says we say Halal on every Yontif, including Chanukah. That's why he's talking about it. But we don't say Halal on Purim. Why? The Rambam says you don't say Halal on Purim because when we read the Megillah, that's called Halal. In other words, that reason is telling us that the entire Megillah is a Shira. The entire Megillah is a Halal. This Gemara over here that's talking about the Aseres Bnei Haman, that the Aseres Bnei Haman has to have a long vav, and the Aseres Bnei Haman have to be written in two separate columns. Why? Because the Aseres Bnei Haman is unique. It's a song. Yeah, well, that works with many opinions in the Gemara, but according to that opinion, in that other Gemara in Megillah, that the reason why we don't say Halal on Purim is because the entire Megillah's Esther is Halal, then that means that the entire Megillah is a song. And what exactly is the song of Megillas Esther? What's it a song of? It's a song of the destruction of our enemies. So, therefore, in that opinion, which the Rambam holds like, then no longer does Aseres Bnei Haman have a unique identity as a song. The Gemara said, why is Aseres Bnei Haman considered a song? Because it's a song of the destruction of our enemies. All Megillas Esther is a song of the destruction of our enemies, according to that opinion in the other Gemara, which says that you don't say Halal on Purim because Megillas Esther is a Halal. So the Rambam view, therefore the Rambam understood, is that really there's a machlagis over here. Does Aseres Bnei Haman have a unique identity as being a song about the destruction of our enemies, or doesn't have a unique identity? That's the definition of the entire Megillas Esther b'chlal. The entire Megillas Esther is a song about the destruction of our enemies. So this Gemara, let's see, on Daf Tazayin Amud Beis, which says that you have to make a long vav and you have to make two separate columns. Why? Because Aseres Bnei Haman is a unique song. It's a song about the destruction of our enemies. That Gemara is obviously holding that Megillas Esther is not a song. Aseres Bnei Haman is a song. And because it's a unique song within the context of Megillas Esther, which is not a song, it has to stick out. It has to have unique features. A long vav, two separate columns. But there's another Gemara. The other Gemara says, why don't we say Hal on Purim? The Gemara gives different reasons, but one of the reasons is because Megillas Esther is a song. Well, no. That means that not just the Aseres Bnei Haman is a song about our destruction of enemies, all Megillas Esther is a song about the destruction of our enemies. So the Rambam understood that it's a machlokes, it's a disagreement. Does Aseres Bnei Haman have a unique identity as a song about the destruction of our enemies, or is that the identity of the entire Megillas Esther? The Rambam understood it's a disagreement in the Gemara. The Rambam paskins in Hilchos Chanukah, that the reason we don't say Hal on Purim is because the entire Megillas Esther is a song about the destruction of our enemies. No, if the Rambam holds like that opinion, then no longer does Aseres Bnei Haman have a unique identity as being the song of the destruction of our enemies. And therefore falls to the wayside why you need a long vav or two separate columns. Therefore the Rambam doesn't hold like that. Again, the Rambam omits that halacha that you need a long vav, you need two separate columns, because the Rambam understood that's coming from an assumption that the Aseres Bnei Haman is a standalone section in Megillas Esther, because that's a song about the destruction of our enemies. Well, the Rambam doesn't paskin like that. The Rambam paskin is like the alternative Gemara, which says that all of Megillas Esther is a song about the destruction of our enemies, so much so that you fulfill Halal with it. So therefore, according to the Rambam, there's no such thing that Aseres Bnei Haman is a standalone thing that it requires a long vav in two columns. The Rambam doesn't paskin like that. But now the question is, so why do we have to say it in one breath? In the Gemara, the context was you have to say it in one breath because, again, since it's a standalone song, therefore it needs to be identified as unique both in how it's written and how it's read. So it has to be unique in how it's written with a long vav in two columns. It has to be unique in how it's read, b'neshima achas. But the Rambam, who doesn't paskin like that idea, the Rambam that paskins that aseres b'nehamid is not a standalone thing. The haraya, the proof of it is that he doesn't paskin, that it has to be unique in how it's written. So now the question goes back, so why does it have to be unique in how it's read? Why is it read b'neshima achas? Okay. So, I mean, make a long story short, the question boils down to, like, what's the inyan of reading Megillas Esther b'Neshim Achas? Why? Okay. It's like this. There's a very interesting tradition that we find from the Gaonim, okay? The Gaonim that sort of there were leaders of the Jewish people after the end of the Gemara. So we do find this, it's rare, but we do find this, that there are certain traditions that the Gaonim had that are in fact not recorded in the Gemara. Not recorded in the Gemara, but these were traditions that they had to go way back, but these were the traditions. And the Torah brings down a tradition from the Gaonim that there was a tradition to read the entire Megillah b'Neshim Achas. To read the entire Megillah Esther in one breath. So how do you do that? Yeah. So the Mefarshim explained that obviously it's not, you can't literally do that. As fast as your Balkari is, it's not happening. So the way what it meant was is that what they would do is they would read the beginning and end of every pasuk in one breath, right? They would connect the end of one pasuk and the beginning of the next pasuk, every pasuk like that, and that would be as if it was read b'neshima achas. It was such a recorded idea. Where is this idea coming from? So say the Gaonim, the reason why there was such a tradition to do that is because the Megillah is called an Igeres. The Megillah is called a letter. Let me give a little bit of background. In Megillah Esther, we find that the Megillah itself is referenced with two different terms. One place in the Megillah Esther, it's called the Sefer. And one place in Megillah Esther, it's called an Igeres, it's called a letter. Okay? Now, in the Gemara, this is where the tradition from the Gaonim is a little bit different. In the Gemara says that the fact that it's called sometimes a Sefer and sometimes called an Igeres means the following thing. Says the Gemara, the fact that it's called a Sefer means, in Halacha, that it has to be written like a Sefer Torah. It means, parchment, proper ink, all the details of a Sefer Torah. The fact that it's called an Igeres, which means a letter, means that there is... So, that it's not as chomer, it's not as stringent as a Sefer Torah. There are some kulas, there are some leniencies you can throw in. So for example, the Gemara says that because it's called an Igeres, there's a leniency in writing the Megillah that it doesn't have to be stitched as carefully as a Sefer Torah has to be stitched together. Okay. But in the Gemara, the reason why it's called an Igeres is to sort of pour cold water on its stringency in terms of being like a Sefer Torah. Sefer means it has to be written like on par with Sefer Torah, all the details. Igeres means Sefer Torah, but one notch down. That's what an Igeres says. But there's no, in the Bavli, in the Gemara, there's no tradition that the term Igeres, the fact that it's called a letter, tells you it has to be, it doesn't tell you anything positive. All it does is tell you that it doesn't have to be exactly like a Sefer Torah. It's bringing it down a notch, but it doesn't have its own kiyum. There's no particular positive identity as an Igeres. It's just, Igeres means it's not as choshev as a Sefer Torah, namely that it doesn't have to be stitched as well and so on. The Gaonim have a tradition not like that. The tradition of the Gaonim is that the word Igeres not only means that it's one notch less than a Sefer Torah, but it actually there's a specific halacha of it being an Igeres. It's a positive thing. What's the positive quality of being called a letter? So the Gaonim said the positive quality of being called a letter is that it has to be read in one breath. Now, again, it's not physically possible to read the whole Megillah in one breath, but every pasuk, you connect the beginning and the end, and the end and the beginning of every single pasuk, right? Instead of the end of one pasuk to the beginning of the next. That's called as being read in one breath. And the Gaonim had a tradition, and that's called an Igeres. When you read a letter, one of the differences between a letter and a sefer, when you buy a book, right, or you take a book, you don't necessarily, some people do this, but you don't necessarily sit down and like cover to cover, right? But when someone sends you a letter, but there, unless it's a Megillah, right? So then there you go. So yeah. So unless, right? So then you read it all in one shot, right? So says the Gaonim, in order to, the fact that it's called an Igeres is a positive halacha. The positive halacha is that you sit down to read the Megillah, and you go straight. So ad kedei kach that the halacha that the Gaonim have this tradition, it should be read mamish in one breath. Again, you can't physically do it, so at least you do the next best thing, which is just connect end pasuk with one pasuk, end pasuk, and one pasuk, and so on. That's what you do. Say the Gaonim further. The tradition is, see, it's interesting. The Gemara says, when you read the Aseres Beni Haman, the Gemara says to read the Aseres Beni Haman and the word Aseres. But that's not our minig, right? Our minig is to read the 10 sons of Haman, B'nishim Achas, but also the previous words of Chamesh Meyos Ish, the S, Parshan Dasa Ves Dalfon, right? That's what we do. Chamesh Meyos Ish. Chamesh Meyos Ish is the last words of the previous pasuk. And so the Mepharshim already asked, like, what's our minute coming from? I don't understand. The Gemara says to read Aseres Beni Haman, because they were all killed in one breath, and you know, in one shot. All of a sudden, our minute is not just that pasuk of Aseres Beni Haman. We also read the end of the previous pasuk of Chamesh Meyos Ish. Because the answer is that in our tradition, we are reading the Aseres Beni Haman B'Nishima Achas is because we are connecting to that tradition of the Gaonim. Again, according to the Gaonim, every pasuk in the Megillah has to be read in a way that you connect the previous pasuk with the beginning of the next pasuk. We're not machmer like that so much, but at least for Aseres Beni Haman, that's what we do. We read the end of the previous pasuk, Chamesh Meyos Ish, and the pasuk, Aseres Beni Haman, all the way down to Aseres B'Nishim Achas. Why? So boiling it down is as follows. In the Gemara, why do we read Aseres Beni Haman uniquely? Because it's a shira, it's a song, it's a standalone thing. But we don't hold, like I said from the Rambam, we don't hold that it's a standalone song. So why do we read it B'Nishim Achas? The answer is, the reason why we read it B'Nishim Achas is because of this separate tradition from the Gaonim. The tradition of the Gaonim is that the Megillah is called an Igeres. An Igeres doesn't just mean that it's one notch down from a Sefer Torah. It means it has to be read as an Igeres. What does it mean to read something as an Igeres? So one of the ways in which an Igeres is read is that it's read straight. Ad kedei kach, like I mentioned, that the Gaonim quoted a tradition that the whole Megillah has to be read straight like that. So we don't go that far. But at least we pick one pasuk in Megillah Esther to read it in such a way where the end of one pasuk is read B'Nishima Achas with the next pasuk. And that's how we sort of use an indicator that the entire Megillah is called an Igeres. An Igeres means, again, that it should flow, that the end of one should flow into the beginning of the next. So we don't do that for every pasuk, but at least by Aseres Beni Haman, that's what we do. So it comes out that according to this, the reason why the Rambam, for example, again, the Rambam that paskins, that Aseres Beni Haman is not a standalone song, which is why the Rambam omits the halacha that it has to be written uniquely. It doesn't have to have a long vav, doesn't have to have two separate columns. But why does it have to be read in one breath? The answer is, it has to be read in one breath for an entirely different reason. It has to be read for one breath for an entirely different reason, which is that it's called an Igeres, it's called a letter. And if it's called a letter, it means that you have to have somewhere in Megillah Esther to indicate that this Igeres flows. It flows. It's not just like you take a chapter and you read it and you get to the end of the book in 3 weeks from now. It has to flow. It has to be considered a hemshech. And the way we do that, we're not so machmer to do that with every single pasuk, but at least Aseres Beni Haman. So what we do is, therefore, we read Aseres Beni Haman B'Nishim Achas. And even more than that, our minig is to literally do B'Nishim Achas, not just Aseres Beni Haman, but Chamesh Meyos Ish Ves Parshan Dasa, right? To the end of the last pasuk with Aseres Beni Haman as well, that it should be. It should flow. One pasuk should flow into the next. That's why we do it. Which is, again, so it comes out that the reason why, according to the Rambam, the reason why we read the Megillah B'Nishim, read the Aseres Beni Haman in one breath is what? It's not because it's a song, but because that's the halach of an Igeres. That's the halach of an Igeres. In order to indicate that the Megillah is called an Igeres, is called a letter, and a letter means something that flows, that doesn't just, you know, you don't take breaks in the middle of it, it flows. So we therefore pick one pasuk in the Megillah to indicate that, namely Aseres Beni Haman. And like I said, our minig is to go even further than that, is to then connect even the previous pasuk to Aseres Beni Haman, Chamesh Meyos Ish Ves Parshan Dasa. And this is exactly what the Rambam is telling us. Says the Rambam in Halacha Yud Beis. The Halacha is you should read Aseres Beni Haman in one breath. And as we establish, why? Because it's called a letter. And a letter means that there has to be at least one place in Megillas Esther that you're reading it with a continuity of one breath to indicate that this is a that the entire Megillah is called an Igeris, and the nature of an Igeris of a letter is that it's read quickly, it's read in one shot. So Ad Kedei Kach, we do that to one pasuk in the most extreme way that it's read B'nishim Achas. Why do we pick the pasuk of Aseres Binyamin in particular? Okay, in order, because it does have this hint that they were all killed at the same time. But what we're doing really is establishing the entire Megillah as an Igeris through this pasuk. To that, says the Rambam, U'minig, and the minig of Klal Yisrael is to read the Megillah also completely opened like a letter. That's why the Rambam puts these both halachas in the same halacha Yud Beis. Because they're both coming from the same yisod, which is that the inyan of the Megillah is that it's called an Igeres. And the fact that it's called an Igeres has two ramifications. Ramification number one is that there has to be some pasuk in Megillas Esther that's read B'Nishim Achas. Because every letter, again, the difference between an Igeres and a Sefer is that a Sefer, you read piece by piece, when you get to it, you close it, you take breaks, you have a little bookmark. But an Igeres is read in one fell swoop, one shot. So in order to indicate that the Megillah is an Igeres, we don't just read the Megillah, you know, the night of Pesach, or the night of Purim, or the day of Purim. We want to do more than that. We want to show that it's mamish and Igeres, that it's flows. We're not putting it down until we're done. So we take one pasuk to the extreme, which is you read it literally in one breath. And that's a kiyum, that's a fulfillment of the halacha that it's called an Igeres. And the other ramification of it being called an Igeres is that it has to be read completely opened. Because when you get a letter, that's what you do. You open it completely, then you start reading. So those are the two halachas the Rambam puts together, because they're both coming from the fundamental principle that the Megillah is called an Igeres. But again, all of this is not like the Bavli. Because according to the Bavli, the whole definition of Igeres is not that it has to be read like a letter. Igeres just means it's not as significant as a Sefer Torah. It's just, the whole idea of an Igeres is not a positive fulfillment. It's just throwing cold water on the fact that it's called the Sefer, right? Because again, the Megillah is called the Sefer, which means that it has to be written like a Sefer Torah. So you might think it has to be written with all the chumras of a Sefer Torah. Okay, so it's called an Igeres to sort of bring it down a notch. But that's how the Gemara holds. And by the way, and because of that, the Bavli, therefore has to come on to a different explanation of why the Aseres Binyamin are read B'Nishim Achas, namely that Aseres Binyamin is a shir, is a song, and therefore it has to be unique both in its writing and how it's read. But all of that is coming because in the Bavli there's no idea that the Megillah has to be identified uniquely as an Igeres, that you have to pick one pasuk to read with absolute consistency of one breath, and we'll pick Aseres Binyamin. It's not coming from that. The Bavli doesn't hold like that. So the Bavli, according to its own reasoning, right, that the term Igeres just means to bring it down a notch from a Sefer, has to come up with other explanations why Aseres Binyamin is unique. And the only explanation it could come up with is it's called a song. Well, if it's called a song, that means it has to be unique in how it's read and also unique in how it's written. But in the tradition of the Ga'inim, that the reason why you read the Aseres Binyamin in one breath has nothing to do with the fact that it's called a song. It has to do with the fact that it's called an Igeres. And the fact that it's called an Igeres means the entire Megillah has to be, you have to show in the Megillah that there's a flow to it. Again, Ad Kedei Kach, like I mentioned before, that the Goyim had a tradition that even every Pasuk, it should be B'Nishim Achas. Okay, we don't go that much, but at least that's Aseres Binyamin. So that's where the Rambam is coming from. By the way, this idea of the Megillah being called an Igeres, and the definition of an Igeres being not just taking it down a notch from Sefer, but a positive kiyum. Like I said, in the Bavli, there's no such source. The Ga'inim have this tradition, but it is hinted to in Yerushalmi. It's hinted to, not openly. The Yerushalmi says like this. The Yerushalmi says that when in the Megillah, when it was read, so when it got to the name Nebuchadnezzar, right, because in the Megillah it references Nebuchadnezzar, right? Asher Higla, you know, so on. There you go, yeah. So it says Nebuchadnezzar. So the Yerushalmi says that when the name Nebuchadnezzar was mentioned, one of the Amoraim would scream out in Shul, his bones should rot. His bones should rot. Ask the Yerushalmi, Why are you yelling that out now? Don't get any ideas. Why? I know some of you. Why? So don't get it. So he says, why are you yelling that out now? Says the Yerushalmi, when you read say for Yirmiyah, you didn't call out that, like any Haftarah that mentions his name, you don't call that out. Why are you calling that out now? So the Yerushalmi says, maybe it's because the only time that Nebuchadnezzar's name is mentioned in Tanakh after he was dead, right, as a reference to who he, you know, to the old Nebuchadnezzar that's dead already, is in the Megillah. In Yirmiyah, Hanavi, where Nebuchadnezzar's name is mentioned, he's alive at the time. So, and Megillah Sester, so that's when he calls out, let his bones rot. Okay. So that's the back and forth of Yerushalmi, but the truth is, Shkai, thank you very much. Truth is, based on this tradition from the Gaonim, that the term Igeres is a positive Zach, not just to take it down a notch from Sefer. There's a kiyum, there's a positive fulfillment of it being called an Igeres. We could explain that minig of that Amayra differently. One of the qualities of an Igeres, so we had the fact that it's called an Igeres, we had two ramifications so far. Number one, you read it straight. You read it straight, you don't take any breaks. And you fulfill that by reading at least one pasuk, Aseres ben yom v'nishim achas. Fine. Another ramification was, you open up completely. And you read it like that, that's another thing. What's another quality of an Igeres? An Igeres is also current events. When you read a letter, when you read a book, so a book is it could be ancient history. But when someone sends you a letter, there's two things. First of all, a letter means you don't know this yet, so you're reading it for the first time, right? And number two, it just happened or it's happening right now. You know, it's current events. So when the Amor is reading Sefer Yirmiyah and Nebuchadnezzar is mentioned, that's the same. There's a Sefer Yirmiyah. I'm not so emotionally charged. His bones should rot. But when you send me a letter and you mention the name of Nebuchadnezzar, it means this is a story that's happening right now. There's a certain emotional charge to that. So when you say Nebuchadnezzar, Tibachatz Moisav, Yimach Shemai, things like that, that's what you do, right? So it's a kiyum of Igeres. So what comes out is, Hayoyitz learned from all of this, is that we have, what's interesting is, again, from the Bavli, we have this idea again that the Megillah is called an Igeres. It's called a letter. It's called a Sefer. It's called an Igeres. But what does it mean in Igeres? What does it mean that's called? What's the Inyan behind it being called a letter? So this is where we have a split of traditions. You have the Bavli's tradition, and then you have this tradition from the Gaonim. In the Bavli's tradition, Igeres doesn't mean anything positive. It doesn't mean anything positive. All it means is that it's not as chomer. It's not as strict as a Sefer Torah. That's all it means. That's all it means. But there's no positive ramification of the fact that it's called an Igeres. Whereas in the Gaonim's tradition, it's not like that. It's called an Igeres, it means not just that it's taken down a notch from a Sefer Torah. There's a thing, it has to be read like an Igeres. What does it mean to be read like an Igeres? So we have three different ramifications now. Ramification number one, if it's called an Igeres, it means you gotta pick one pasuk in Megillas Esther to indicate B'nishim Achas, that it's read in one breath. Because that's the nature of a letter. You get it and you read it in one sitting. So to highlight that, you got to pick one pasuk, the Nishim Achas. Which pasuk do we pick? Aseres Bnei Haman. But that's the reason why we do that, is because the Megillah itself, Bechlal, is called an Igeres. Ramification number two, it has to be read completely open, right, from the beginning to end. And that's how you read it, like an Igeres. Ramification number three, in this Yerushalmi, it has to feel like current events. So in the Nebuchadnezzar's name, he would call out, Tipachatz Maisav, his bone sherat, and so on. But again, that's the tradition of the guy. Okay, so fine, that's the halach. So that's what's interesting, right? So if it's because of fulfillment of Igeres, then that's right, that's the key. Okay, so now let's investigate the penimus of this. What's the penimus of this? Because there's still a little bit things that need explanation. Mm-hmm. Even in halacha, that are not 100% clear. Again, so we read Aseres Bnei Haman B'Nishim Achas. Why? Because that's the fulfillment of Igeres. But again, why that pasuk? I mean, because it happens to be, it also indicates another fact that they were all killed at the same time. So let's understand. In the writings of the Arizal, we find the following idea. Like, what was going on by Purim? So it's a well-known Gemara. The Gemara says that when Haman said to Achashverosh, you know, Yeshnai Amecha, there's a nation, they're not Kedai, let's get rid of them. So Haman was, Achashverosh was not a fool. Ahasuerus said to Haman, no, yeah, Pari tried this, didn't work out. Nebuchadnezzar, Sancheirif, all it. So it's going to happen to me. The same thing happened to Parai. I'm going to become I'll just become a yontif, right? So it's not a good idea. So Haman responded, no. Yeshnoi. The word yeshnoi comes from the word yoshin, which means to sleep. Elokeyem shel elu yoshenhu. Their God is asleep. Their God is asleep. There's another Gemara that says that they're also asleep. The Yidden are asleep in their mitzvahs. Obviously, that reflect each other. Midah connected midah. But he said that the Rabbanu Shalom was asleep. What does it mean? So we understand. If Achashverosh and Haman are having an intelligent conversation and they're really concerned about the Rabbanu Shalom, and it's such an intelligent conversation that the Gemara in fact records it, then what does it mean Hashem is asleep? There's a world. What does it mean Hashem is asleep? All right. So we understand. That when Haman said Hashem is asleep, obviously it doesn't mean that Hashem is not, literally asleep. Haman was not a fool. But Haman understood that there was a change in Hanhagas Hashem. The way the Rabbanu Shalom deals with the world, deals with Klal Yisrael, there's been a shift. And the shift was the difference between awakefulness and sleepfulness. Until this point in world history, Haman understood, and he was right, he was correct. And until this point in world history, the Hanhag of the Rabbanu Shalom, related to Klal Yisrael, related to the world, in wakefulness. What does it mean, wakefulness? In clear and obvious, ways. Nisim Guliyim, open miracles, prophecy, v'chulu, in open and revealed ways. Both in terms of positive and even a negative. Even when Chas V'Shalom, there's Pranis and there was Tsaris, it was also in a miraculous way. It was everything was wakeful. Everything was awake. Now there was been a shift. What's the shift? The shift is now the Rabbanu Shalom was asleep. In other words, that his Hanhaga, the Rabbanu Shalom's involvement, is not so obvious and clear. It's now biskasi. It's now in a hidden way. It's more b'derech hateva, which means that there's now room for human beings to make their own decisions, Haman namely, and he could do what he wants to do. V'chulu. That's what he said. Now let's understand this on a deeper level. This Hanhaga that the Rabbanu Shalom involves with the world in a wakeful way, in a way of wakefulness, that he's awake. So this is called, that's called the Hanhaga of Sefer. That's called the Rabbanu Shalom running the world in a way of Sefer. What does it mean Sefer? Sefer means a Sefer Torah, right? Chazal say, Yastaka Baraiso Bar Alma, the Rabbanu Shalom looked into the Torah and created the world. It means that behind the scenes of the physical world is the Torah itself, right? The letters of the Aleph Beis is the sort of the engine, the fuel behind reality. So when the Rabbanu Shalom is being manhig, when the Rabbanu Shalom runs the world in a way that's open and revealed, it means that it's being run in a way of where the underpinnings of reality, which is namely Torah, is obvious, is active, is out in the open. It's like the relationship the Rabbanu Shalom has through Torah is an open relationship. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemar. Right? Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'mar t'lehem. Right? So it's a very open, very obvious. It's the word of Hashem. Sometimes the psukim are positive, and sometimes the psukim seem to be a little bit negative. But either way, it's direct contact. So when the world, if the Torah is behind the scenes of the world, and the world is being run in that way of Torah, it means that the reality of the world is in a way that's obvious from the Rabbanu Shalom, both in positive and in negative. So when the Hanhaga, when the Rabbanu Shalom is running the world in an obvious and open way, which is what Haman referenced as a wakeful God, that means that the Sefer, the Torah, that's the underpinnings of reality, is obviously the aspect in which the Rabbanu Shalom is running the world through. That's called Sefer. What does it mean, Igaris, though? Igaris means where all of a sudden all we're experiencing is just surface level, right? We're not experiencing the Sefer, the Torah, that's behind the scenes of reality. Again, the Torah behind the scenes of reality is an interface that's obvious. When the Rabbanu Shalom is obvious in Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, so the reality that is created from that Pasuk in Torah, and that Pasuk in Torah is still, sort of the driving force behind it, it means that that reality that's created from that Pasuk is also obvious that it's from the Rabbanu Shalom. Again, whether it be positive or negative, it's obvious. That's called a world of Sefer. What does it mean, a world of Inigaris? World of Nigeris is that, yeah, of course the Torah is still behind the scenes, but it's not obvious anymore. And now it seems that the physical reality and the physical nature and teva and statistics and all that is sort of it's operational on its own almost. That's called a nigeres. The fact that the safe that again, this is why when Haman says that the Rabbanu Shalom is now changing his anhaga from that of wakefulness to sleepfulness, that fundamentally is also a shift between sefer and igeres. Now we understand that when the Rabbanu Shalom thwarts Haman's plan, it's not with open miracles. So it's still working within the construct of nature. That same reality that Haman says is no longer sort of governed by Hashem. What is the Yom Tov of Purim revealing to us? Is that the Rabbanu Shalom not only governs the reality through sefer, but he governs reality even as igeres. That's what it means. Just like the Rabbanu Shalom operates until the story of Purim, in a way of where he manipulates the reality in the context of the sefer underneath it, in an obvious and open way. Even when the sefer is not there and it's just nigeris now, the Rabbanu Shalom is still in charge. Not like what Haman thought. So, but let's understand this. So, but when we compare these two, so now we have like sort of two modes, two realities, two modes of how the Rabbanu Shalom runs the world. There's a way of sefer, and there's a way of igeris. Sefer is when the Rabbanu Shalom's hanhaga is coming, not he's not directly relating to sort of the surface level reality. The Rabbanu Shalom is relating to us through the deeper underpinnings, which is the Torah behind the scenes. And because the Rabbanu Shalom is operating through the Torah behind the scenes, in which the Rabbanu Shalom's hand and guiding force is obvious, so that has an effect on reality that it's also obvious and open. That's called sefer. And then there's another operational mode, which is called igeres, that the Rabbanu Shalom is not operating from that Torah behind the scenes, in which case things would be obvious and open. Rather, the Rabbanu Shalom is engaging purely on the surface level. And therefore, things are not obvious, both in positive and negative, that's coming from Hashem, but that's what Purim is. But this is standard Purim in Yonim, that Purim is the Rabbanu Shalom being manhig the world, b'derech ha-teva. What we're saying is that that's called the igeres, because the Rabbanu Shalom, what's the change? What's the difference between whether you have an open miracle or a hidden one? The difference is how the Rabbanu Shalom is engaging. How's the Rabbanu Shalom operating? If the Rabbanu Shalom is operating by guiding primarily through the Torah underpinnings of reality, then that will result in open and obvious an obvious and open interaction, because the Torah is the Rabbanu Shalom in an obvious way. So the reality that's manifesting from the Torah is also going to be open and obvious. But when the Rabbanu Shalom is operating in the Igeres way, it means he's not engaging in the Torah underpinnings. He's engaging just with nature itself. And within nature itself, it's always concealed. Both the negative, the Gzer of Haman is concealed, that it's from Hashem. The overcoming of Haman is concealed. It's all Igeres. So therefore, this is where the Bavli's tradition is coming from. When you compare Sefer and Igeres, Sefer is more chashuv. Sefer is more chashuv. And what does it mean, igeres? Igeres is, it's just a notch down. Because what does sefer mean? Sefer means the Rabbanu Shalom is being manhig from that deeper place of Torah, and from there, his hanag is obvious. That's the gevaldige madrega. Igeres means the Rabbanu Shalom is not operating in such an obvious way. He's operating more engaging in nature itself and manipulating it from behind the scenes. So that's called an igeres. But in terms of the aur, the light, the impact, the Rabbanu Shalom in igeres mode is less intense than sefer mode. Sefer mode is Kriyas Yamsav. Sefer mode is Aseres, is Eser Makis. Whereas we're talking about igeres mode, it's all Haman and Achashverosh, Eser Makis coming up with strategies. It's all mamish concealed. And because of that, in halacha, says the Bavli, therefore in halacha, the way this materializes is sefer is very chashiv, and migeres means down a notch. But come the Ga'inim with a different tradition, and the Ga'inim say, no. It's true that igeres does take, the halacha of igeres is that it has to be a little bit less significant than a sefer Torah, but don't underestimate igeres. Igeres also has to have a positive fulfillment too. It's not just the fact that it's less than safer. It's something by itself. Where is that coming from? So this is an idea that I mentioned many times from Chassidus. In Chassidus, we have the following principle, which is the greater the light, the deeper the light, the lower it extends. The lower it extends. The classic mashal I've given many, many times is that you have a deep, dark cave and you want to illuminate all the way to the end of the cave. A little flashlight's not going to do it. In order to illuminate the end of the cave, you need a floodlight. Or another way to think of it is a little bit more subtle and sophisticated. If I understand a certain idea to a certain degree, and I want to say it over, I want to give it over, I want to teach it over, all I can do is say over that idea. That's all I can do. But if I'm a true master of the idea, then you know what I can do? I can make a mashal. I can come up with a story or whatever it is to sort of capture the idea without ever having to say it. And then when you hear the mashal, you'll figure out the idea on your own. Now that's a big difference. If I'm saying the idea directly, then I could only say that to someone that has the background to hear the idea directly. But someone that doesn't have that background is going to be completely over their heads. But if I'm a master of the idea and I can make a mashal out of it, that mashal maybe is a very simple story that anyone can hear. So I'm then able to extend it to a very low place, so to speak. But it's because I'm the master of the idea. The more deeply you're attached, the deeper the inyan, the farther in externalities it's able to extend. The higher the light, the deeper into the cave it could illuminate. The greater the master of the idea, the more lower and simple mashal he can package it in. So it comes in Chassidus, we're taught the following idea. It's true. In terms of voltage, in terms of obvious, the Rabbanu Shlom's interfacing with us, Sefer is higher than Igeres. And when you relate the two to each other, Igeres pales in comparison to Sefer. And all it can do in terms of Megillas Esther, the fact that it's called an Igeres means that it's not as chashuv as a Sefer. In other words, what that means is that the miracles of Purim, for example, are not as chashuv as the miracles of Pesach. But comes the Ga'inim, the tradition of the Ga'inim, which is a tradition that's not even recorded in Bavli. That's how secretive it is. Whenever you have such a thing, that you have a tradition that's not even recorded in Chazal, in the Gemara, it means it's always much more mysterious, and it's usually coming from a Mashiach-dika mindset. And the Mashiach-dika mindset is that Adarabba, the greater the light, the more it's needed to illuminate that which is more extreme and more out. More out. It's like this is what the Mashiach told the Baal Shem Tov, right? That he's going to come. The coming of Mashiach is because when your wellsprings go chutza, go all the way out. So the Svarm, the Siddiqim pointed out, it doesn't just say that when the waters of your wellsprings go out. Because the answer is because the waters of the wellsprings could only go out, they can't go all the way out. To go all the way chutza, it requires the Mayan itself, the wellspring itself. That's the basic principle of Chassidus, which is that as you get farther and farther into Golus and the darkness of the cave intensifies and the minds become smaller and smaller, then then you need to bring down a greater light and you need to bring down, you have to become a master of the wisdom to create a more simple mashal. That's Rav Nachman at the end of his life. He said that he's no longer going to say Torahs, he's going to say stories. And in the stories, he'll be able to contain the deepest of secrets. And he says, the reason why I'm saying this is because no one's understanding the Torahs that I'm saying. So what I'm going to do it. But this was an aliyah for Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was ascending to a higher madriga where he's now become the master of the Torahs, then able to manipulate them into a story. So in the teachings of Chassidus, the fact that you have, when you compare Igeres versus Sefer, it's true, to a certain degree, Sefer is higher in terms of obvious. Obvious, interaction with Hashem, but in truth, in terms of the depth of divinity, how deeply into God's presence do you have to go in order for nature itself to be manipulated by Hashem in a way that no one knows and no one can tell? That has to be very, very deep. That has to be very, very deep. That has to get to kviyachol, so to speak, God Himself. Because only the master of divinity, which is God Himself, can put Himself to such a mashal called Olam Hazeh in a way that still no one knows it's Him. That's how deeply God is. So in the tradition of the Goyim, the fact that it's called an Igeris isn't just that it's one notch down. No, it has to be. It has its own positive ramifications. And what are the ramifications? So as I mentioned, three things. The ramifications are, number one, that you have to take one pasuk, b'neshima achas. What's the meaning of neshima achas? The Rabbanu Shalom made the world in such a way that the world was created with 10 utterances, right? Ye or let there be light, tachi aretz, all the different sentences of Hashem. What was before all those 10 utterances? Let's put it this way. Many, many different sentences create a world of many, many, many different things. But what is a reality? If let's say you had a reality that was created with one breath, what would that reality be? That would be a singular reality. The chiddush of an igeres is that the world, that even though the world is what? Is a world of 10 utterances with many different breaths. But in order for Igeres says that the truth of all truths is it's b'nishim achas. It's b'nishim achas. The world is still saturated with infinity like it was before creation. And that's why the Rabbanu Shel Olam is able to manipulate nature without having to come to it from a safer avenue. See, if you think about it, the safer approach, which is the Rabbanu Shel Olam sort of manipulating the underpinnings of reality, which is called the Torah, and from there it bubbles to the surface. That's assuming something. What's it assuming? It's assuming that the surface is something the Rabbanu Shel Olam wouldn't interact with, because the surface is fragmented, it's in a million pieces, and the Rabbanu Shel Olam is one. So it's not a shidduch with him, kivyachol. But the chiddush of an igeres is, no, the same God that's comfortable dealing with Torah is the same God that's comfortable dealing with nature. And adrabah, the depth of God is more revealed when he's dealing with nature straight. So the ramification of Sefer is that you have to have a pasuk in there, b'neshima achas, in one breath, to indicate that even a world that's created with many sentences is in truth it's one breath. The same one God that all of this is coming from is still the one God after this is all here. Nothing's changed. And that one God is comfortable in the space of many. That's why it's called Purim. My Purim is Lashon, the Svarim say Lashon of Pirurim, which means like pieces and crumbs. Because the same God that until Purim we said like the space that he in, that's that his environment is an environment of oneness, but this world of Pirurim, of crumbs, doesn't work with him. No. The Megillah is called an Igeres. It means that the Rabbanu Shel Olam is comfortable operating even in nature directly. Because even nature, which looks to us as made of many, many different breaths, is in truth b'neshim achas. In truth, it's one breath. And just like the Rabbanu Shel Olam is comfortable in that space of infinity, he's comfortable in our space of finity. He's comfortable there too. It's b'neshim achas. And what pasuk do we use to indicate that? A pasuk talking about Aseres B'nei Haman. It means even Aseres B'nei Haman, even Mamish, the other side, the infrastructure of the other side, which is the opposite of God's presence, Davka there, specifically there, where you read a B'neshim Achas to indicate that even that space is Mamish, one breath. It's coming from one singularity, the singularity of before creation, is comfortable there as well. The second ramification is that the Megillah is read as an Igeres completely unfolded. When you unfold something, it means beginning and the end all at the same time. It means when I'm reading the beginning, the end is unfolded. When I read the end, the beginning is still unfolded. It means it's a secret of what? Of beginnings and ends being tied to each other. Again, also this idea. The idea of beginning and end being separate from each other, that's the basic definition of finite reality. The basic definition of finite reality, which until now we think in the safer mode, God is not comfortable in finite reality. So in finite reality is beginning, there's end. But comes Igeres, and Igeres says, no, the same God that's infinite is super comfortable even in finite reality. Because even finite reality is not so finite. Finite reality is not so finite that we read one pasuk, b'neshima achas, in one breath, And it's also not so finite, in indicating the same idea, that it's read in a way that the beginning and the end are all at the same time. And the other ramification is, you're reading something which happened 2,000 years ago, 3,000, whatever, a long, long time ago, and you're reading it, Yimach Shema, Ke'ilu, it's happening right now. Even our minig of stamping Haman was, as if you never heard his name before. Before, I say Haman now, no one's stamping the, right? Okay, Shkayef. Why Dafka then by Purim? The answer is because all of a sudden when it's in Igeres, now it's alive. And you're here. Not only is it alive, you're hearing the name for the first time. What do you mean here for the first time? I heard this 1,000 times, and Bez Hashem, I'll hear it 1,000 other times. Why am I hearing it for the first? The answer is the idea of you heard it for the 1,001st time. That's finite. That's beginning. Then there's number two. Then there's number three and number four and so on. And again, what does Igeres say? If you think of reality in that way, it means God's not comfortable here. And then God is only going to be able to operate in safer mode, where He's operating on the spiritual plane, where He's comfortable being, and then it'll bubble forth to the physical plane in an obvious and open way, because it started off, with an intense spiritual energy. But Igeres means that God's operating in a physical place that's unbecoming of the Ribbono Shel'olam. And that's why the Bavli says Igeres is not as choshev as Sefer. Becomes the tradition of the Gainim, which is coming from the light of Mashiach, and says, no. If the Ribbono Shel'olam is operating in Igeres, it's coming from such a deep place that even finite is still infinite. That's a much deeper level. Not a downgrade, that's a much deeper level. Ad kedei kach, that when you hear Haman you're hearing it for the first time. Because there's no beginning, middle, and end in that place of infinity. And that's what's going on by you guys. This is the whole inyan of Purim, the Ad Lo Yoda, the whole inyan of Purim of Venahapechu, of that which is that the space that we thought the Ribbono Shel'olam could operate until now was only in Ruchnius. And when the Ribbono Shel'olam operates in that way, then it's usually then it results in obvious interactions. When you have Kriyas Yamsuf, it tells you there's something going on behind the scenes. Fine. But Purim says the Ribbono Shel'olam is being man of the world, Bederach HaTeva, which says the Bavli, that's called Igeres, and says the Bavli, that's not, The Ribbono Shel'olam is lowering himself, Kivyochel, it's constrictive. Constrictive. Says the tradition of the Gaon, it's not constrictive at all. But this is the Ribbono Shel'olam revealing himself, Kivyochel, in his full glory. The fact that even the place, there's no great, again, like the mention I said before, which was that if you could say a mashal to something, that's an indication of how much of a master you are in the inyan. So if the Ribbono Shel'olam is able to operate even in nature, then that's actually revealing a much deeper side of God, that even finite and infinite, even infinite is nothing to Hashem also. So if even infinite is finite, then finite is also infinite. The Ribbono Shel'olam is bigger than both. That's the idea. The Ribbono Shel'olam is bigger than both Gashmis and Ruchnis. He's bigger than both. So once he's bigger than both, what's an afkamin if he's operating in Ruchnias or he's operating in Gashmias? He's bigger than both anyway. So you can tell me, finite is unbecoming of Hashem. What? Why? Because Hashem is more appropriate to infinite. The Ribbono Shel'olam is bigger than infinite too. So therefore, in that perspective, then everything in Igeres is trying to tell you this, that what you see as finite is no different to the Ribbono Shel'olam than being infinite. So you have many psukim that are normally read in many breaths, which means finite and division. It's b'nishim achas. You have a Megillah being read in a way that there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's all unraveled at the same time. You're reading a Megillah that you've heard the story before, you haven't heard the story before. That which is finite, in our perspective, that infinite is mamish, the biggest thing in the world, and that's where God should operate. But finite is insignificant. That's small for the Ribbono Shel'olam. Comes Chassidus in the tradition of the Gaonim, the light of Mashiach, which is in us. Yeah. Why are you making God so small? that God is so small that He's befitting an infinite. Even infinite is tiny for God. And once God is bigger than that, so then what's the difference between infinite and finite? That just like God is constricting Himself to operate in Sefer, so He's also constricting Himself to operate in Igeres. And the opposite, when He operates, the lower He goes, Kivyochel, the deeper the light must be. And the greater, deeper revelation of divinity is being activated at that time. And that's the Chiddush of Purim. So the Chiddush of Purim is that, again, this is true. So until now, we've been saying this in the light of Hashem. Well, it's later, I'm sorry. In the light of Hashem. But the truth is, this is how Purim also operates between one Yid and another. When you see another Yid, just to bring it to Avodas Hashem, when you see another Yid, so there's also different ways of thinking. You know, a Purim is a way of, you know, you deal with, you could deal with another Yid in a way of Sefer and in a way of Yigaris also, right? So you could deal with a Yid, what does it mean Sefer? It means that you want to deal with his Ruchnias, right? Or her Ruchnias, you want to deal with the infinite side of things. Yigaris says, no. The same Jew that's holy in their infinity, that Jew is also holy in their finite aspects as well. And it's those aspects that Purim engages in. So, Mishal Chmanis, Matanis Avyainim, right? So, the place can bring down a Shaila, you know, could you be Mekayim Mishal Chmanis if you give Chedusha Torah to another Yid, right? You give a new Sefer or something. So, it's a nice Chakira to think about. You're not yet to Mishal Chmanis, right? Mishal Chmanis is something that you're able to eat. Why? Torah is safer. The halacha is, the Gemara says in Megillah, Mevatlin Talmud Torah L'mikra Megillah. In order to fulfill Mikra Megillah, you're Mevatl Talmud Torah. So the Mepharshim ask, what type of Bittul Torah? Megillah is also Torah. So I saw recently from an Adam Gadol, he said that, what does it mean Mevatlin Talmud Torah L'mikra Megillah? In order to fulfill Mikra Megillah, you have to be Mechavin that you're not being Mekayim the Mitzvah Talmud Torah. Because if you're Mekayim the Mitzvah Talmud Torah, it's Bechina Sefer. But you have to be Mekayim Mikra Megillah as an Igeris. An Igeris means this is not Torah, this is the Rabbanu Shalom operating in Teva. Not some Ruchni stick of space. An Agash means stick of space. Mevatlan Talmud Torah, Lishmai Mikra Megillah. So Yid is also, like there's a line in Chabad, I think it goes back to the Baal Shem Tov, that another Yid's Gashmias is your Ruchnias. Another Yid's Gashmias is your Ruchnias. That's what Purim is. No. Hashem should bless us, you know, when we realize this, that even the Igeris of another Yid, the Teva, the nature of another Yid is Mamish Kodesh Kadoshim, then the Rabbanu Shalom looks at us, and even if we're deficient in some Sefer Inyanim, but the Rabbanu Shalom should be completely comfortable in operating and being manig and bringing Shefa and Bracha and Atzlach and Siyat Deshmaya, even in the Igeris part of things. Even in the Yidden that are cool Igeris is also fine. The Rabbanu Shalom is... Once he's being mitzansim himself to go to Sefer, he can mitzansim himself even deeper to go to Igeris. We should be zeichet to see the Shefa and the Brachas and the Nechamas that come from the Yom Tov Purim. We ask God to say, Brachim, and Meher, and Amen.